Deuteronomy 5, verses 12 through 15. Observe the Sabbath and keep it holy, as the Lord your God commanded. 6 days shall you labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. You shall do not any work, you or your son or your daughter, or your male or female slave, or your ox or your donkey, or any of your livestock, or the resident alien in your towns, so that your male and female slaves may rest as well as you. Remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out from there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God commanded you to keep the Sabbath day. Our next scripture comes from the book of Mark, Mark 2, verses 23 through 3, chapter 3, verse 6. On the Sabbath, he was going through the grain fields, and as they made their way, his disciples began to pluck heads of grain. The Pharisees said to him, "Look, why are they doing what is not lawful on the Sabbath?" And he said to them, "Have you never read what David did when he and his companions were hungry and in need of food? He entered the house of God where Abiathar was high priest and ate the bread of the presence, which is not lawful for any but the priest to eat. And he gave some to his companions. Then he said to them, 'The Sabbath was made for humankind, and not humankind for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath.'" Again, he entered the synagogue, and a man was there who had a withered hand. They watched him to see whether he would cure him on the Sabbath, so they might accuse him. And he said to the man who had the withered hand, "Come forward." Then he said to them, "Is it lawful to do good or to do harm on the Sabbath, to save life or to kill it?" But they were silent. He looked around at them with anger. He was grieved at their hardness of heart and said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." He stretched it out, and his hand was restored. The Pharisees went out and immediately conspired with the Herodians against him, how to destroy him. This is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Mighty and gracious God, we've heard your word, and we ask that it would lead us and guide us. Help us, O Lord, as we seek to serve you in every way we can. Watch over us as we consider and ponder on your word. In your name we pray. Amen. In our scriptures today, we have a little battle going on between the Old Testament and the New, between Jesus and the original Deuteronomic law. On the one hand, Deuteronomy commands from God that we are to keep the Sabbath. But then in Mark, we find the Pharisees seeking to defend the Sabbath from those notorious flaunters of the law, Jesus and his disciples. On the one hand is the very obvious command from God to keep the Sabbath, to honor it and keep it holy. And on the other is the very teachings of Jesus, a story in which the disciples and Jesus break that command. Now, if we pause for a moment and look at that commandment from Deuteronomy and read it through, it's a command with no escape clause. There's no, "In case of such and such emergency, you can break the Sabbath." There's no scrolling line at the bottom of the screen that says, "In some cases, if the Sabbath needs to be broken, you may break it, but under only certain circumstances." There's no little disclaimer at the end, "Keep the Sabbath." and keep it holy. That's a problem. Because there's no terms and conditions that we can look at and say, well, it says I can break the Sabbath if somebody's having a heart attack and I'm a doctor, so I'm good. This is the entire reason why that group of people called the scribes existed. Because people wanted to know. They wanted to know what they could do and could not do, how they could live and how they could almost survive in life in order to keep the Sabbath. But like everything, it's not as cut and dry of an issue as we might originally think. It's not as cut and dry and simple as the Pharisees would want us to believe. The fact is, Jesus and the disciples, in the eyes of the Pharisees, broke the Sabbath. We might always look at these guys incredulously and think, how could you be so restrictive? How could you look at this man and say he couldn't be healed? But part of that is we know the full story of the Pharisees and all that they do, all the number of times they go after Jesus, trying to trick him, get him to say certain things and do certain things. They're an easy bad guy to get on the other side of. They're easy to make into the bad person. We want to make excuses for the disciples. After all, you know, they were hungry. And what is walking past grain and just grabbing some and popping it in your mouth? It's no real harm. You walk past a blueberry bush on a beautiful Sunday, grab one, pop it in your mouth, providing there's not pesticides on it now or anything like that. Or bugs. Raspberries and bugs always for me. Just. But the fact is, Jesus points one key thing out. The Sabbath is a gift. It was given to us. We weren't given to the Sabbath, but the Sabbath was given to us. While the Pharisees are playing that game of right and wrong, Jesus tracks back to the original intent of the commandment. But that all leads up to the buildup. That's all the buildup. The disciples and their plucking of the grain, that's all a lead up. Because once they get to the temple, that's when the big show happens. The disciples plucking the grain is the peewee hockey game in the middle of the actual game. It's the little piece building up to the greater moment. Because they all go to the temple, and they're waiting for Jesus. They're sitting there saying, oh, we got him now. They are so ready to go after Jesus. And he doesn't disappoint them. But he does do it in such a way as their ridiculousness is highlighted. Because think about this. Think about their view of the Sabbath. Without any wiggle room, without the scribe given wiggle room. You know, you could take X number of steps on a Sabbath day, but if you took more, it was work. Well, guess what? What if grandma or mom is dying on the other side of town and she's going to die that day? Well, one, there's all the people passing the message to you that mom is sick. And they're all working by getting the message to you. Think about this. Mom's on the other side of town. What if 5 more steps bring you to mom's door? Are you going to break the Sabbath in their eyes? I don't think any of us would have balked at breaking the Sabbath. But by their rigidity, You cannot without breaking the Sabbath. You couldn't go into mom's house and bake her a meal, a last meal. You couldn't care for her physically because that was work. It was very non-giving of life, non-restful, because you spent more time worrying that you weren't working than you did actually resting. How is that getting back to that original intent of keeping the Sabbath and resting? When I was young, I got my first taste of a rigid Sabbath. Every summer, my brother and I would go to visit Grandpa and Grandma in Grand Haven, Michigan. And West Michigan is, I don't want to say quite like Lancaster, Pennsylvania, but it's its own area. It's its own little island in the world. It's beautiful. You've got Lake Michigan right there, the beautiful sand dunes and everything. There's no end of fun you can have, except on Sunday. On Sunday, it was quiet, eerily so. Saturday nights, your clothes would be laid out and set out, because you might work picking your clothes the next day. And oh, heaven forbid you have a hole in your pants and grandma has to sew and fix that hole. Or you had a knot in your shoes and they had to work to get that knot out. Dinner would be prepared beforehand for the next day. Oh, and I'll throw in a little hypocrisy. We would talk through where we were going to eat Sunday so that we didn't have to cook our own meal. Meanwhile, we're making other people actually physically work on Sunday, so don't get me started there. After worship, you went home. And during the fall, you got a pass because Grandpa had to have the Lions game on. And I realize nobody really wants to watch them. My grandpa was shocked. Floored, in fact, the one Sunday morning after church, mind you, we were walking from church to the house, and I said to him, "So it rained yesterday, Grandpa. When are we going to mow the lawn today?" Mow the lawn? We don't do that, not on Sunday, Bill. "But Grandpa, I like to mow the lawn." "We don't do it on Sunday, Bill." And when Grandpa used that voice, you were done. End of the discussion. So we waited until Monday and mowed the lawn. The fact is, West Michigan is its own world in keeping of the Sabbath. In seminary, once or twice, I drove past a specific ball field. And I'm pretty sure that to this day, even though it's almost over 10 years since I graduated, there's still this sign on that field: "No ball playing on Sunday." Big words on the no. Why? Why? How is kids at a ball field work on a Sunday? I remember speaking to one man of my father's generation who grew up in Holland and Grand Haven. He would say that you could hear individual bugs Saturday night. It was so quiet because everybody was inside getting ready for Sunday. Every street was immaculate and perfect. In my own family, the story goes that my great-grandfather would get his radio at about 1 o'clock and walk out to the front porch, shut all the windows on the front porch, sit down in his chair, and turn up the radio so that only he could hear, because he didn't want the rest of the family participating in his sin of breaking the Sabbath and listening to the tigers. Do with that statement on the tigers and sin and listening to them what you will. The fact is, the Sabbath was given to us, not us to the Sabbath. When we see Jesus, he tests that rigidity and it fails miserably. This man with a withered hand is there. Now, it's not an odd occurrence. It's what he has to continue his life. He's asking for alms at the door of the temple. It's where people come and go. People probably with the most on their mind of charity. Meanwhile, the Pharisees are lurking, hanging around with malicious intent, ready to jump on Jesus, salivating at this opportunity. But the fact is, what they would rather have had him do is tell the man to wait. And if Jesus was really cheeky, he would have stood there until the Sabbath had passed, and the very second the Sabbath passed, he would have healed him. That's what would have happened if this was about healing the man. He would have just done it, gone. Pharisee, what can they say at that point? Nothing. But he heals him on the Sabbath in front of the Pharisees for a reason. He intently does this. He asked them the very, very awful question of whether it is better to do good or harm on the Sabbath. Not work versus rest, good or harm. Imagine a doctor confronted with a West Michigan Sunday. Can the doctor go in and save someone with a brain aneurysm, or is it, well, let's do what we can to keep him alive, but it's Sunday? Think about that. The Pharisees would have rather have had someone die than the doctor break the Sabbath. Is that what God intended? Is that the reason for the commandment to keep the Sabbath? Or is it to observe it and keep it holy? To keep ourselves alive through it. Rest and that which gives us life and rejuvenates us is not a single pathway. It's a single highway for each of us, not for all of us, the same highway. What gives me life is probably miserable, hateful work for you. I mean, how many people like to mow their lawns? See? Not everybody. The fact is, the Sabbath is a wondrous and beautiful gift for us. A gift from God, because God knows how hard we labor. And God gives it to us so that we might rest. How many of us have ever had a conversation with a loved one to take a break? You know, every year at Thanksgiving growing up, we would tell Grandpa and Grandma, sit down, we've got the dishes. And it was like pulling teeth to keep Grandpa out of the kitchen. He wanted to help. He wanted to make sure you were doing it right. The fact is, we are not often wired to rest, to give back life to ourselves. The great grand question is, if we don't keep Sabbath, if we do not rest, do not give life back to ourselves, where does that leave God's kingdom? with a church full of burnouts. People who are so exhausted and so tired from work and service that, I'm just going to sit here and go, just be. We are given the Sabbath as the most blessed and wonderful form of care. Think about it. Think about how God gives us life and restores our life. Think about what Sabbath means individually for each of us. Don't ever get caught up in the rigidity of a West Michigan Sabbath. But think about how God restores you. How God gives life back to you. And make that your Sabbath. Amen.